Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook. We got Eric Nalin. We got practice to talk about. Texas is off today on Wednesday, so it's one of those culture Wednesdays, you know, that Steve Sarkisian views as very important. But hey, everything that's happening on the field is important. Make sure you like this video and subscribe to this channel. We'll be talking about everything that happens on the field, off the field, especially heading into this weekend as Texas gets ready for its first scrimmage. Of course, got to plug our guy Paul Wadlington's book. Make sure you buy Thinking Texas Football, every position, every player, every opponent, SEC team, a look at the landscape of college football, plus a look at the 2025 class from Eric. You can find the link in the description and head to InsideTexas.com. That's the first link in our description. You can join for just $1. Your Inside Texas membership starts at just $1 for that first week. We'll throw in a complimentary year of access to The Athletic. So all the different news and notes on the Longhorns from the practice field, plus some remaining recruiting battles that we'll probably touch on in tomorrow morning's live. Jake Krell, the big one to track as his date gets closer and closer. And we've got some 2027s that we need to track as well as their junior season. And the standout season starts getting going for them. So Inside Texas, join for just $1. Today, we'll go over Malik Muhammad and several other defenders creating turnovers, good reps for the tackles after Andre Kodjo's season-ending injury, plus Neto Umeozulu getting some good work in as well. Backup quarterback important, and Trey Owens has been making strides. The battle at Star seems to be the main, or the budding defensive battle in the secondary, and then the defense ahead of the offense. So let's go ahead and start with that defense. Malik Muhammad had a few interceptions, I think Steve Sarkisian mentioned after you wrote about it on Inside Texas, and the defense has been able to get the ball in their hands and put it on the sword pretty early in these first few padded and then fully padded practices.
Yeah, we heard about Malik Muhammad after both Monday's practice and Tuesday's practice. That bodes well. Obviously, he's got to step in that lead role at cornerback and make up for the loss of Jadae Barron, or help make up for the loss. One of the way he could do that is by forcing more turnovers. Now, he's only had one career interception, but that's not indicative of the actual ball skills he has. A lot of times he's been in man coverage. It's a lot harder to turn over the ball in man. In zone, you get your eyes on the quarterback, able to make plays, able to play a little bit more instinctively. And Akeen has got him in position to do that. And he's rewarding Coach Akeena with that decision by, you know, he's forcing a couple turnovers. He's knocking down a hole. He's getting his hands on the ball a lot more than we've heard in the past. He's always had that ability. It just hasn't quite shown up yet. And, you know, he's kind of just becoming the full package. He's not the fastest guy at corner, but I've heard he might be the second smartest guy on defense outside of Michael Taft. So Malik Muhammad's having the August camp, the preseason camp that we hoped he would have. We know he's had the talent. He's been flashing since the day he got on campus. Sounds like he's going to put together a really good season, and it should surprise nobody.
You've been talking about contract years for Muhammad. There's one for Taft as well. There's one for Gilbo as well. And to hear that he's doing this early bodes well for what's going to be a season where he has a lot of important assignments, as well as a lot of, I guess, trust maybe in the eyes of fans to earn back after the end of last year.
Yeah, I mean, he had a very prominent rough patch of like two games. And it was really just a couple of plays. Maybe he had some struggles against Clemson, and then been on a fake against Arizona State. He played very, very well against Ohio State. So normally fans are, you know, go by recency bias. The last game he played extremely well against the best team in the country. I think fans should be just as high as they were on him coming into last season. A lot of people thought that he was going to be the better corner over Jadae Barron. The questions going into last year were over Barron, which, you know, we didn't agree with. We don't agree with there being any questions about Malik Muhammad this season. He's playing very well. He's always had that ability. I think a couple of those plays last year overshadowed a strong season.
We'll continue moving, go to the offensive side of the ball. Andre Kodjo's injury stinks for tackle depth. It obviously stinks for Kodjo. Stinks that still a young player loses an opportunity to develop and maybe see some game action. But in response, after Kodjo went down, it sounds like the tackles from Goosby to Baker to even Nick Brooks and Jaden Chapman did some good work going against Texas' edges.
Yeah, we've been hearing good things about Jaden Chapman the last few days. Of course, now it's time to check on those guys a little bit more. We feel pretty good about the starters. We obviously Trevor Goosby, we feel great about. Brandon Baker, we've been writing about him quite a bit the last few days. Umiozulu, we wrote about him as well today. The most locked in he's been, probably the best mean streak at the position out of any offensive lineman really in the program. That includes DJ Campbell. You know, just plays with that plays with that aggression that you really want, especially from an interior player. He's coming along a lot more consistent, hard worker, you know, just doing all things the right way. He might be in a contract year. It would be funny, kind of sad to have waited this long for him to flourish, and then he doesn't, could be out. He's NFL eligible after this season. We'll see. That's putting the cart ahead of the horse. But you know, the loss of Kojo, that is a concern, you know, because it could expedite the need to play Nick Brooks. We've been very vocal about Nick Brooks having a bright future. But the question right now is, you know, what's the present like for him? He did have a good practice recently. And, you know, he's going to get a lot more attention now because he could be needed at a moment's notice. But right now, I think Jaden Chapman is that third tackle. We'll see if that changes over time.
One thing, and I'm not anticipating ever getting an answer from Sark about this. He'll probably say something about along the lines of we'll handle it internally. But you have to think that Brooks may not be available for that first game, or may not be available for a game for what he did in the offseason.
I don't think so. They had a talk with him. I don't think there's any enduring punishment for him. I mean, I could be wrong. The way it relayed to me, I don't think that he was it wasn't all that big of a deal.
And then as far as, you know, Umiozulu goes, he's an echo to the whistle player. I remember looking and watching. He didn't have a ton of reps in the past couple of years, but his run blocking reps were high quality, as you might expect. And his pass blocking, if it's getting better, that's always good to hear. And they can't go get anybody else, you know, with Marshall Landwehr getting put on scholarship, which was an awesome video to see. They're at 85. Sark joke can't go to the co-op to get anybody, or he has like a better chance of finding somebody at the co-op, and he probably does. But no matter what, they're at 85. They're not bringing in a scholarship player. They got to develop the guys that they have right now. Staying on offense, everybody talks about Arch Manning. The focus is on Arch Manning. Sark has given some positive relayed positive information about Arch Manning in the past few days. But the battle to back him up is important. We know how important the backup quarterback position is at Texas. We've seen him play in almost every season since the turn of the century. How's he been performing over the past few days, especially with someone like Matthew Shipley there in the room, Matthew Caldwell there in the room with him?
Yeah, you threw me off there with Matthew Shipley. I think, you know, I still think this is a real battle, definitely a real battle. I think Caldwell, having the experience playing at Troy, just, you know, being around college football as long as he has, and he's shown that maturity the second he got on campus. He's reading defenses and 7-on-7 and doing all those things. I think Caldwell is in a good spot. But Trey Owens is not going without a fight. He's been playing very well. Sark still has him running second team. Caldwell's going to have to take it from him. And right now, Owens is putting up a good fight, getting the ball out quick, protecting it a little bit. You know, the quarterbacks had an issue. We didn't get to the whole segment on what we were talking about with Muhammad and other DBs creating turnovers. They have had too many turnovers this week specifically. Before this week, they've done a really good job of protecting the ball. They've had some tips at the line of scrimmage as well that have gone been turned over. But overall, yeah, Trey Owens is having a very good camp. He had a good spring, and he had a strong summer. Now, that strong summer, I might have downplayed a little bit too much because he had 7-on-7, and he should light it up in 7-on-7. That's his wheelhouse. He's going to have to show that he can move his feet in the pocket, slide, find windows, release the ball quick, maybe to a second, third target. But right now, he's having a good camp. And so we're continuing to watch that quarterback battle for number two. It goes on, and it goes on a little bit further than maybe I would have thought. I was kind of giving the edge to Caldwell right away just because of the experience factor. But Owens is playing well.
This applies at all the different positions. And of course, football's played with pads on. But now there's just so much more information that these coaches have from these summer workouts that they used to not have. Like, this first week's always going to be important, but they have all of July and all of June from 7-on-7 to help inform that decision. Again, the pads are going to be what helps them, but they feel like they can, I bet they can kind of make a decision maybe earlier than they anticipated or would have in years past, just because of all the different info they have dating back to
time with them in the classroom. That time in the classroom and on the chalkboard, you can see who's processing and understanding exactly what's going on. You can ask them questions and get answers pretty quick to give an idea of if they're caught up to speed. We'll see how it goes. There's a lot of this depth chart is really in flux. Now, you know, we can we can pretty easily project the starters across the board. That's not hard. Maybe cornerback would be tough and maybe star would be tough. But the depth behind it, there's so much competition. There's, you know, really, I think every position is pretty much settled outside of maybe linebacker. Man, depth behind safety is up in the air. Even edge depth is up in the air. So, wide receiver's pretty settled, I would say, unless Mosley makes a run at Livingston. But there's the competition is on that second layer, and there's a lot of it pretty much across the board.
That's something that will probably carry over into the season too. So before we keep on going, got to show some love to our sponsor, that is David McClellan.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a 1-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
Going back over to the defense, that battle at Star continues. And part of it feels like a battle, you know, seeing who is going to rise to the top. But it also feels like there's some mixing and matching because of the players, the frontline players that they've put in that spot over the past few days.
Yeah, we've been mentioning the last few weeks of offseason, maybe the last month or two, that, you know, Akina really likes to work matchups. And so I think a lot of it is people are you know, thinking that it might be Taft versus Grayson Littleton or Grayson Littleton versus Wardell Mack. I think it is Grayson Littleton versus Wardell Mack, but there's really three things I'm tracking at this position. A, that matchup between Grayson Littleton and Wardell Mack, they're interchangeable with first team. The last couple practices, Michael Taft has not been at Star the last couple practices, as far as I know. But that to me is more of a setup where the offense is in 11 personnel, three wide receivers out there, and you need really a corner. Right? The whole reason they moved Jade Barron to Star was because he was a corner and could cover fast wide receivers. The other scenario is, what are they going to do in 12 personnel? Last year, we saw it as early as the Michigan game where Jelani McDonald played Star snaps. And I think he played over 200 Star snaps on the season, and it probably would have been more at that position had Derek Williams not been injured. So it's clear that they want a bigger safety or a more run support safety when the defense or when the offense is in two tight end sets. So that's the second scenario I'm watching for, more of the matchup football between 11 personnel, 12 personnel, and how the defense counters. And then the third is Kobe Black and Jalen Gilboa. You know, Sark said in his recent press conference, he's got a lot of time to figure this out. Part of me thinks that he's got a fail safe. He can break glass in case of emergency and just start Kobe Black at corner. Have Warren Roberson be the third corner. They feel like they're trusting Warren more and more every day. And then they could put Jalen Gilboa back at corner, and he would be more of that sort of a do-it-all corner. They wouldn't have to take him off the field, but he would certainly jump Littleton and Mac. But they could still play matchup football with Taft or potentially McDonald, depending on what the offense wants to do.
We'll go to the last piece, and Sark touched on this, and it's always funny to hear Sark as an offensive head coach kind of go, you know what, I kind of expect and I'm okay with the defense being ahead of the offense. And you talk about zero-sum game. You know, if Texas wins, Texas is losing. If Texas gets a 50-yard run, Texas gives up a 50-yard run in these scenarios. But the defense being ahead of the offense sound right? And does that sound okay to you, like it sounds okay to Sark?
Yeah, we've been covering that angle since I've been covering football. That one's become apparent to me. It's become a lot more apparent to Sark, being an offensive coordinator, having to go up against Pete Carroll's defenses and having to go up against Nick Saban's defenses. He probably said that a lot of times when his head coaches were asking, hey, what's going on here? You know, I was talking to it with a source today, and just the timing involved in offensive football, and it's more of a choreography, is so much more intricate than it is on defense. It's just different. You need timing. It's just, you know, timing between the quarterback and the wide receivers. You've got to accomplish that. You've got to have timing between the running back and the offensive line being in the right place at the right time. And some of that's predicated on what the defense is doing. It's just a lot harder. And so that's no surprise at all. It'd be scarier if it wasn't that way. We'd be worried about the defense. But yeah, the offense has made their plays. They struggled in. I said they had too many turnovers the other day. But they were able to run the ball pretty well. And then in this last practice during their, it's a run portion slash play action pass where that's all they can do, right? It's only running or play action off of it. Trey Wisner broke a long one. Now the defense tightened up right after that. Part of that was probably due to their motivation to not let them make any more big plays, but also Trey Wisner talking a little bit of trash to him, firing him up. But yeah, I'm not worried about the defense. The defense to me sets a very high floor for the entire season. The exciting thing will be for me to see, you know, how far does the offense come over the next couple of weeks? They have their first scrimmage this week, a scrimmage the following week, and that'll be the last of it as far as really telling us what to expect, most likely, because the Saturday before the Ohio State game will just be a mock game, and that's just a glorified walkthrough.
I, for all the coverage that we give to this team over the course of preseason after preseason, I don't know if I've ever heard of that run or play action period. And I like the idea of that. You know, we've always heard about team run.
It's usually called team run. They have team run in the off season where it's just literally 10 different types of agility drills. It's the workout that the team hates the most. It's grueling. It's super high paced. That they call that team run. And then this play action team run, it's man, you know, they're trying to run the ball when the defense knows they're going to run the ball, when they have those situations, right? Famously, they knocked out Alabama in 2023 running the ball when Alabama knew they were going to try. That's what Sark wants to do. But then also that play action is a thing of beauty, right? That's a huge part of Sark's game. And hopefully it's a huge part of this season with Arch Manning being much more efficient hitting the deep ball than Quinn Ewers.
Then you know it also has to train the defense, so you learn a lot with that. And I don't know why it feels like we haven't heard or I hadn't made that connection, but
should take advantage of this $1 for the first week at Inside Texas. Start reading Inside Texas a little bit more, Joe. You'll be up to speed.
And if you want to be like me, take advantage of this $1 deal. Join Inside Texas. You get the latest team coverage, not only just from these practices, but also coming from the scrimmages, recruiting coverage, everything. And of course, make sure that you go and use that link because we have a great perk as well. Get Inside Texas for $1 for your first week. And as a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year of The Athletic. So you get the best in Texas football. If you want to read about the Astros or the Texans or the Cowboys or whatever floats your boat, go check us out. Get it all Inside Texas. And the best part, we got a great community. So you can talk about all this stuff at Inside Texas. We got dedicated, basically, discussions for everything, including Premier League soccer. And I saw that thread start the other day. So should be a lot of fun to track that as we maybe have game day on mute. So also make sure you buy Thinking Texas Football, Paul Wadlington's look at the 2025 season, players, positions, opponents, conference mates, landscape of college football, and then Eric, your look at the 2025 class. So that'll do it for today. Eric, thank you so much. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.